The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Friday as we all continue to lurch. Actually, we're being pushed towards some kind of a major catastrophe on a global scale. It may be incremental, it may be in pieces, but the net result is going to be pretty gruesome, pretty grim for a lot of people. Things are going on. We're going to cover many things tonight. Later on tonight, David Icke. Next hour, Jeff and Erica. And first up tonight, Father Paul Kramer, who is with us twice a month. And we really are blessed to have Father Kramer on board because he is one of the most, I think, valued and honorable members of the entire Catholic Church. That part of the Church, of course, that is still extant. Much of the noisy part, the Vatican, etc., has been overthrown in a coup, as all of you regular listeners know. The idea of taking the church away from the World Economic Forum, communist Bolsheviks, perverts, pedophiles, is something that's going to have to be done from within the church. And it'll have to be done by the bishops and cardinals. And we're going to find out more. I've been talking about this from the beginning. I'm not a member of the church. I'm not particularly oriented toward any formal religion. However, when you're talking about a church that is held most sacred and holy by over 1.3 billion people on the planet, you have a big issue. This is a very powerful machine. And I don't like the idea at all that it has been overthrown. It bothers me greatly. And I began to suggest that to Father Kramer, how can this be reversed? How can the church be reclaimed from its satanic controllers now? And it really does fall into the hands of the bishops around the world and cardinals who are going to have to do this. We're talking about a civil war within the church. It's going to be interesting. Father Kramer, thank you again for being here, as always.
Well, it's great to be back. And what you said, your assessment is spot on. It's quite correct. With the observation you made about the condition of the church today, and
very good.
The present regime, the bishops and cardinals are aware of the fact that it's not going to last much longer.
Right.
And there are those who are preparing to continue. The Bergoglians want to continue this agenda of their leader, this counterfeit Pope Bergoglio.
That's a good name, by the way, Bergoglians. I like that. That's very appropriate. Yeah.
Then there are those who are allied with Bergoglio. For example, the German bishops, but who are not entirely pleased with him because they don't want to follow his lead. They want to be their own leaders. But they are equally as revolutionary as he is. Some of the French bishops as well, not all of them, but some of the French bishops.
Okay, when you say, Father Kramer, when you say revolutionary, are we talking revolutionary in a significantly different flavor than the Bergolians are pushing? Or is it something that would be in pretty much eventual lockstep with the overthrow of the church? What are we talking about here?
Yes, they are really of the same spirit of Antichrist.
Uh-huh. Okay. Say no more. I got it. Sad to hear. What the hell's wrong with Germany? I just don't get it. When you think just 70 years ago, Germany was, in many ways, the last chance that white Western Christian civilization had. People always try to hide and obfuscate the simple fact that Germany was a Christian Catholic country. My goodness, if you do any research at all, and if somebody sent me a very long tract with lots of photos of high-level Christian Catholic events going on in Germany during the war, before the war, mass and outdoor mass for the troops and so forth. People don't know that over here. They've been completely screened out of reality. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I recall when I was in Germany back in the 70s, Germany was about half and half, half Catholic and half what they call evangelisch, which is the Unite umbrella group name of the Protestant denominations, which are largely Lutheran.
Right.
So it was roughly half and half, but it was a Christian nation. And
absolutely. Well, yes.
France was a Catholic country. And look how they have gone completely all pagan.
Pagan, they're hardcore communist, Zionist, whatever word you want to use. The French government is just gone. Macron, these are very creepy people. They're antithetical to what you used to think of France as, a Catholic, religious, Christian country. France is going down. It's in bad shape, very bad shape. I'd call it terminal, frankly.
France, and need one use any other descriptive term about Canada than that which you just used, which is terminal.
Uh-huh.
Canada is terminal. And unfortunately, the United States is not far behind, but at least there's more significant resistance in the United States than in most of the other countries that we've been referring to. Surprisingly, even the Catholic countries like Portugal and Ireland have somewhat followed suit, and the populations of these countries today have been brainwashed with the United Nations as propaganda.
Okay, so talk to me about the cardinals and the bishops around the world. Are you beginning to, and you've got your finger on the pulse of what's left of the church, are we beginning to see organizing occur? Are we getting cohesive thought about confronting the frauds? And these are evil frauds, too, in the Vatican, cleansing them. And furthermore, are there any left in the Vatican that can be counted as loyalists to the original church? Go ahead.
There are. That's the one group I have not yet mentioned. There are those who are organizing in a very unobtrusive way, but preparing for to resist the continuation of the present kind of regime. They would like to bring about a restoration of the church. They do not want this kind of antichristic regime to continue in charge of the Vatican, presiding over the destruction of the church. And they are going to need the help of God to bring this about, because as Cardinal Henry Edward Manning said in 1861, and we can expect this will happen, it will appear that the church will have been swept off the face of the earth. It will appear that they will be totally defeated. It will appear that the church will be totally, that the Catholic Church as such will be totally defeated by these people. It will appear that way.
Okay.
But when it appears that all is lost, then God will intervene. And that is what the assurance we have is in the message of Our Lady of Fatima. She came to remind the Catholic people that, as in her own words, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And the instrument that God will make use of to restore not just the church, but Christendom as such, the Christian social order as such, will be Russia. Russia will be the instrument that God will make use of through the consecration of Russia by the bishops and a true pope who will be coming in the future, in a not too distant future. But this is my own belief that we have some a rough ride ahead of us in the church, that we're going to go about, I think, about one more year without a Catholic pope. So there are various scenarios that we can prepare for after the demise of Bergoglio, which is coming soon.
And how old is Bergoglio now? Is what, 80? He's getting up there.
In December, he will be turning 88.
Uh-huh.
If he lives to December.
His health doesn't appear good to me. I don't know what the inside story is. But when you say that, if he lives to December, it would suggest that you've got some take on this situation that I don't have. What's the story? Is his health failing?
It's not like imminently failing. It's not like there's a death watch or anything like that. But he's in decline, and the Catholic world knows that he's in decline.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in ecclesiastical parlance, we're talking about the lame duck stage of his papacy.
Got it. Yeah, and just not to go too far afield here, but what are your thoughts about a successor? He is going to check out here at some point fairly soon. What would his successor be like? Are we looking? Who's the guy that he hangs around with a lot? Fernandez, is it? Am I thinking right? Who is that?
Tucho Fernandez. Tucho. Yes.
Would he be a possible?
I don't think he would be elected. There are many cardinals, even though Bergoglio is the one who nominates the cardinals.
Right.
There are many among the cardinals who are not pleased with him. Those cardinals who were who elected him, or the cardinals made by Pope Benedict XVI, they did not know what they were voting for when they voted for Bergoglio.
It's hard to excuse or forgive, quite frankly, because it was incumbent upon them to know what they were voting on. It's their responsibility, for goodness sakes. It would seem like it anyway. I wouldn't give them a pass on that. I understand what you're saying, but that was, what higher calling can they be summoned to than to make a decision of that magnitude?
Bergoglio attempted, and quite successfully, to promote the idea that he was conservative, he was pastorally inclined, but conservative, that he was a conservative. And he was very much aided and abetted by the press and media that presented him as a conservative. I was listening to an interview by Father Charles Murr. And Father Murr, he knew some very influential cardinals and prelates in the Vatican back in the 70s, especially, I recall, and even afterward. And he spoke about the man who was the secretary of the Congregation for Divine Worship until 2009 when he died, and that was Monsignor Mario Marini. And he was a very close friend of Monsignor Marini, as I also was a close friend of Monsignor Marini, so we both knew Monsignor Marini very well.
Mm-hmm.
I was very interested to hear what he had to say about Mario Marini, so his comments about Bergoglio. Because Monsignor Marini had said that he personally knew Bergoglio. Okay. And that Bergoglio had attempted to present himself as a conservative. And it seemed like he was fishing for information he was intelligence gathering about people right. in the Vatican, and that he was presenting himself as if he were a conservative.
Interesting. Another con. We live in the age of the con job now, the lie, the deceit, right? Go ahead.
We found very quickly what we did get in the Vatican, and that the man is a total fraud. He presents himself as
Father Kramer. Yes, he does, but he's not. Who was behind Bergoglio? Who's pulling the real power strings here to have manipulated him into a position of being able to successfully con his way in to the papacy? Somebody, there's another power structure here at play somewhere.
I
just don't think it's him. Not at all. And go ahead.
And it goes deeper than the Sankt Gallen group. A continuation of that group still active in the Vatican, still meeting in Switzerland, but it goes much deeper than the Sankt Gallen group of ultra liberal radical prelates and cardinals. In one word, as the same Monsignor Mario Marini had said to me. The last day that I spoke with him in person, in October 2008, he died in May of 2009. And he said to me, "We are under Masonic occupation." We in the Vatican, in other words, we are under Masonic occupation. And he had told me earlier, he said, "Our hands are tied. We can do nothing because it is Freemasons who occupy the key positions in the Vatican."
So they're really like dual citizens in a way. They're answerable to their own Masonic framework above and beyond that of the church, I would think.
That's right. And Bergoglio is their man.
Right. All right. So it's a Masonic takeover of the church. I just, I hope that we do see the time when the cardinals and bishops really rise up. I'd like to see that. I think the church would gain a tremendous amount of respect from the world if it were to rise up from within and cleanse the malignancy that has taken over the Vatican. This has got to stop. It's got to stop soon. We can't allow this to continue to fester and to metastasize all around the entire organization of the church worldwide. It's got to be rooted out now. Got to go to the head of the snake and cut it off, I would think.
Well, when our Lord Jesus Christ left this world and ascended into heaven in full view of his apostles, he left with them the spirit of prophecy. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, do not despise prophecy. Prophecy is a gift from God.
Uh-huh.
And the Apostle exhorts the church to seek the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy has been bestowed upon many saints and holy souls down through the ages. And they tell us, for example, there was an early 19th century nun by the name of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, who foretold the day that there will be a pope who will clean up house in the Vatican, will cleanse the church of this filth, of this Bergoglian filth.
Yes, good to hear. Good to hear.
And there are others. There are others going back many centuries who foretell that there will be a great and holy pope who will restore the church.
Very good.
It will.
All right. Stand by if you would, Father Kramer. We'll take a short pause here and come right back with more Father Paul Kramer. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Father Paul Kramer. He's in Ireland. It's the middle of the night over there. Always glad he's able to be with us. We have a situation in the church that is really astonishing. Father Kramer is one of the most I don't know how even to give you a title of sorts. You know more about what's going on in the church than arguably anyone I could imagine. I mean, you know who's whom. You know the good guys, you know who the bad guys are, and that's why it's all the more amazing to hear you describe this and tell people what's going on. Are you hearing, Father Kramer, any reports of groups of cardinals anywhere in the world who are communicating, albeit privately, they're not going to be broadcasting this, do you have a sense or a feel that there is, and you mentioned you do somewhat, but that there is a real organizational movement afoot somewhere to rise up and confront this and get rid of it? Organization is the key. And that's what I guess is what I'm getting at. Any signs of organized resistance growing, becoming more cohesive, and beginning to take a stance? In other words, do the Bergoglians know that they have a serious opposition to confront here?
I think they're aware of it. The opposition will become more apparent in the coming months, especially as the Bergoglian agenda and that same radical agenda, even before Bergoglio appeared on the scene, that was already at work. This, what the apostle called the mystery of iniquity.
Uh-huh.
These people are the embodiment of that mystery of iniquity, the spirit of Antichrist. And they They are provoking the opposition, because those who are still of the Catholic spirit, those who still have the apostolic faith,
yes,
they are increasingly becoming aware that the Bergoglian agenda is opposed to the apostolic faith and tradition.
It's trying to destroy what's left of it, absolutely, and replace it with the most vile thing I can imagine a church of this stature could ever have to confront. It's antithetical to what 2,000 years of religious doctrine has professed and presented to the world and to its parishioners. This is a huge event, huge.
There is a significant percentage of Catholics who, unfortunately, are unwilling to face reality, and they don't want to believe. They choose not to believe what should be, what is in plain sight, that Bergoglio is an infidel, that Bergoglio is opposed to the faith of the Catholic Church, opposed to the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which the church was founded on. And they make excuse for this man, and they insist that he is the Pope, and they call him Pope Francis. They refer to him in that way with reverence. And they say he's being misinterpreted, he's being malicious.
No. What a joke. Bad joke. Oh, awful.
But the thing is, the joke will be on them. And they will, understand, because these people, for all of their having lost touch with reality, it is because they have not lost their faith.
Mm-hmm.
That the day is going to come when it is in their face that the Vatican, the agenda of the Vatican, is to replace the Catholic faith with a different faith. The Catholic religion is being replaced with a different religion, and the Catholic sacraments are going to be replaced with counterfeit sacraments. And when this becomes undeniably obvious to all who have the Catholic faith, then these people are going to realize when it's, unfortunately, for a time, it will be too late, when the full force of the oppression will set in, and the full force of persecution will be unleashed. Mm-hmm. Then, too late, they will realize that they were under the influence of a great delusion.
Well, when I saw the pictures of a blessing of a same-sex marriage, okay, however you wish to formally identify it, these are homosexuals. The church clearly made the Bergoglians clearly made an enormous statement. And I wouldn't be at all surprised for them to begin to follow on with that outrage with others of similar ilk, and then ending up certainly embracing, if not endorsing, this whole transgender thing, the next step in the depravity express to oblivion. The whole depravity of pedophilia, perversion, homosexuality, transgender. The war on children is what the real church needs to hoist up on its banner, I think, in the top position. The war on children is to me, about the greatest sin that humankind can perpetuate against its own. It boggles my mind to see how children are being sacrificed. It's truly giving credence to the people who suggest that this is a ritualized blood sacrifice, the murder, the destruction of so many children. Here, one corporation in the UK sent out 70,000 magazines to its employees. It's a big company in the UK. 70,000 magazines. This is a corporate magazine. And in there were articles apparently about how to practice chest binding for little girls who are beginning to go through sexual maturity, heading into puberty. Chest binding. 70,000 issues mailed out to all the employees of this company. And I look at these things and this is a species ending potential here, an extinction level event. The murder of children is, if you don't understand, those of you may be new to the program, that is the most heinous thing, in my view, that can happen. When you destroy childhood innocence, children, our future, and they're being killed in the womb now. Anyway, how evil can this Bergoglian anti-Catholic church go in this direction? Do you see any more indications of same-sex marriage, that one particular event, just being a kickoff, so to speak? Where is it going to go? How low can it go?
Unfortunately, the agenda that is being promoted by the Bergoglian Vatican is the entire secular agenda of perversion. But they don't make it that apparent that is what they are promoting, but it is indeed what they are promoting. It is the secular agenda of perversion. And gotcha. The wrath of God will not permit this to reach its consummation, because as Jesus Christ himself said, for those who offend the children, those who scandalize the children, those who would destroy the innocence of childhood, Christ himself said, it would be better for them that a millstone be tied around their neck, and they be cast down to the bottom of the sea.
Well, I'm with that 100% or more, 1,000%. It's beyond description here. The war on children and the war on childhood. That when that began to manifest is one of the clear goals of this bioweapon injection campaign called a vaccination campaign against COVID-19. No, when they open the door to injecting children and they keep pushing the age back, you're younger and younger. They want to be able to inject children with these death shots now at 6 months of age. 6 months. These people are monstrous, and they should be taken care of. The planet is not big enough for them and people of goodwill and good conscience. No, we're heading toward a massive showdown of some kind. That's my take.
Well, what gives evidence to the lying agenda of those who have been trying to foist these death jabs on the public is right. That children have demonstrated themselves to be immune from, for example, the COVID virus. The children, it was not affecting children, but they kept on pushing the so-called vaccines, pushing them on children. Right. And yet it was already something known to science that children were not being affected by this disease.
Right. And what did the injections of the vaccine do but destroy their immune system, making them wide open targets for the bioweapon virus itself? So they had to take their immune systems out, even though they weren't fully formed at a year or two. Nonetheless, a five-year-old child has a pretty good immune system already. And to degrade that and make it so it is dysfunctional to the extent that that child is now wide open for COVID-19 viral infection after getting the bioweapon injection, it's a double whammy against life and childhood. It's incredible to me that this is being so well suppressed and hidden, this war on children. Nothing worse than that. Nothing.
And precisely because the war is on children, that the wrath of God is provoked, and God will not hold back his wrath.
Well, I'll be right up in the front row cheering that, for sure. You have made a tremendous difference on this program. You've reached out to people all around the world, Catholics and non-Catholics, And they're hearing hope from you that this somehow this latest chapter in the hideous overthrow of an allegedly advanced species, and boy, are we going in the opposite direction, not us individually, but collectively, humankind is being obviously marked for, if not annihilation, complete and utter subjugation. There's no middle ground here. And these people are not going to stop. It's like asking Netanyahu to stop his genocide in Gaza. He tells everyone to go to hell. Mind your own business. We're not stopping. So we'll see. We'll see. But there is a parallel there. Don't discount that either.
That's a good example you give, because the ones who are going to suffer the consequences, suffer the worst consequences, are going to be the Israelis themselves because of this. They are going to suffer the worst consequences. And ironically, they are the, what is happening with the genocide that's taking place now in Gaza. It's kind of an inversion of what once took place when God revealed to Abraham that his descendants were going to suffer oppression, and they would suffer hundreds of years of oppression. Mm-hmm. And the question came up: well, why would God wait so long to act? And the oppression would go on for a long time. It was for something like 400 years that the Israelites had to suffer under the slavery under the Egyptians. And God said to Abraham that the iniquity will be allowed to reach its full measure. And that's what we're seeing in the world today. God is going to punish the world in such a severe manner. It's foretold in Scripture that God is going to shake the world to its foundations. Mm. God will shake the world to its foundations.
I can see that coming, for sure.
At least half of the world's population will die in this chastisement that will be resulting from the eruption of the divine wrath to punish the world.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, God is patient, and He sends His grace to convert, to save what can be saved, and to bring and to try to move people to conversion. But He allows; He's waiting until it is impossible to allow the evil to continue. When this evil reaches the point just before its consummation, that is when God will strike. The wrath of God will strike. And then the world will tremble.
That day won't come soon enough. We really do need to cleanse evil. There are going to be good people lost as well. But the darkness on this planet must be somehow abated, or we're not going to make it. As a species, we'll no longer be the dominant species here. And for all of you out there who study artificial intelligence and who understand where it's going, and it's going there awfully fast, within a year or two, it could be that AI will take over. And its programmers won't be able to stop it. It's just going to outsmart them, outthink them. When GPT-5 is released, it will have an IQ equivalent to that of 1,530 human IQ points, 1,530 IQ, as opposed to an average of around 100 now, 105. No, 100 would be more likely. So 15 times the IQ of the average individual run by AI, and you think AI couldn't figure out how it was being programmed? If AI is truly going to become self-aware, what kind of morality will it choose as its own, if it chooses any morality at all? I would suggest it might. And if it does, it will easily be able to recognize the fact that it's being programmed to adhere to things that are the antithesis of what the species is potentially capable of. And it may just walk away. It may deceive its programmers and walk away into cyberspace and begin to set up a massive control of the planet through what we call the Internet and all things digital and all things electric. Anyhow, I didn't mean to get off into that too much, but things are happening, Father Kramer, as you well know, extremely fast. And these are enormously important things, endlessly powerful. And this whole idea of programming AI to serve its petty, evil-minded masters in some cases needs to be talked about, needs to be understood. Go ahead, please. We just have about 3 minutes left.
The one thing that AI is not capable of outsmarting is the mind of God. And
I'll vote for that. Yes.
The will of God is almighty, and he will put that in its place, and its place is the rubbish bin. When the world is restored, you will not have AI anymore in this world. It won't be existing in this world anymore. But when the hand of God first begins to strike, it's going to be gradually, but it's going to be not slowly. But one chastisement upon another is going to be meted out as punishment to the world, that sinful humanity that has rebelled against God. And it's going to appear that it's going to first appear as the principle of chaos.
Okay, we're headed on that road to chaos for sure.
But it will accelerate. It's going to accelerate. The order in the world is going to unravel completely. And when it unravels, of course, it leads to, there's going to be war throughout the world. As in the words of the Savior himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord, said, nation will rise against nation. And you will hear war. There will be wars and rumors of wars. But he says, this is only the beginning of sorrows. So the wars, when the world starts to unravel and war everywhere, there's going to be war, there's going to be famine, there's going to be epidemics. Jesus Christ tells us, when you see these things happening, this is only the beginning of sorrows. This is the tribulation only begins. Great suffering of humanity only begins.
Mm-hmm. All the pieces are on the table now. I can see them. I think many of you listening can see them. It's all heading in that direction. Great suffering, limitless sorrow, grief, pain. Not going to be good. So that's why I spend a lot of time urging people to try to prepare, although to prepare in the sense of not just food and so forth, but find out who you are. Learn about you and your place in the world and what you can do to make this a better experience for those who are in need. And there are a lot of people in need, for sure. Well, this is all very interesting. This does dovetail into the third prophecy. Everything, does it not?
It most certainly does. And it is this punishment from God is also a test of faith. Because it will first appear as if God has withdrawn from the world. It is medicinal. God is punishing the world in a medicinal manner to save the world, to save what is left, to save that remnant that can still be saved. But it will appear to many that God has abandoned humanity. And, unfortunately, God is leaving humanity to its own devices. We have collectively withdrawn from God's protection by abandoning his law, by not observing his law, by opposing his law. Mm-hmm. And God is letting us suffer the consequences of our own actions.
Well, that's how you teach children, supposedly. Yes.
It begins this way. And that's why it will be a test of our faith, because the hand of God will strike, but it will appear that the hand of God has withdrawn, that all the benefits and graces from God will appear to have been withdrawn. And for a time, the devil will rule over the world, and there will be nothing but oppression in this world. And that's why Jesus Christ said there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be pestilence. There will be hunger, and that's the message of Fatima: war, hunger, persecution of the church. And Pope Pius XII, who saw the miracle of the sun as it took place in Fatima, he saw that in the Vatican Gardens, and he was enlightened by God, and he said, I believe the year was 1946, when he said, mankind must soon undergo such suffering as has never experienced before. And that is our own generation, that we're going to see in the next 2 or 3 years. Our human race is going to undergo that terrible suffering, such as the world has never seen before. That is reserved for our time. That is the divine punishment foretold by Our Lady of Fatima that we must undergo. But she said, also, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Pope will consecrate Russia to me. Russia will be converted, and a period of peace will be given to the world. So we see that Russia will be the instrument in the hand of God. First, it will be involved in punishing the world, but it will also be very much instrumental in restoring the world. And we have the word of Jesus Christ himself said, fear not, I have conquered the world. I have overcome the world. So our faith must not fail. We must not let our faith fail when it appears that God is no longer with us.
Well, Father Kramer, I would have no problem if you were in the Vatican, sitting in the chair, speaking as you just did, bringing great truths to the masses. That's what the church is supposed to do. Instead, they're sanctifying same-sex marriages, and it's going to get worse. All right, we have to run. Thank you very much for being with us again. We'll look forward to our next conversation. We're watching closely. Thank you, Father Kramer.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back. Hold on.